Ladies and gentlemen, the fiscal court being present, call this meeting of the Marshall County Fiscal Court to order. First on the agenda this morning, we do have some guests that would like to address the court this morning. Mr. Bill Davis. Roger, would you like to introduce Mr. Davis?
Bill Davis is the bonding attorney that's working with the Lakeland Retirement Community. As you know, this is a project that's sponsored by the Methodist Church in the Johnson Creek area, a retirement facility for older citizens of all faiths. It's not limited to Methodists or any Baptists in the crowd. We pass that word on to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, I thought you might want to know that. And as you know, the Retirement Village is working closely with the new Marshall County Public Housing Authority to obtain funding for the facility through the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And Bill Davis is here today to meet with the Housing Authority at their first meeting at 11 o'clock to see if we get things off the start. And we also have some things that we need to do. We need to appoint the new member of the Housing Authority. We do have a new member that's going to be with us. Mr. Capp was unable to serve. He was appointed last time. And we have chosen a new member in his position. So we need to reenact the appointment of the Housing Authority. Anyway, that's what Bill's here. He brings a stack of paperwork for the judge and James to sign. Bill, do you have anything you want to say to the court at this time?
Not really, Roger, except that the resolution that is intended today reenacts what was done last week, with the exception of the one new Housing Authority member.
I would like to, at this point, make a suggestion, Roger. Right. Called my attention yesterday by Ben Haley, who is a citizen member of the authority from South Dakota County, and he respectfully would request that any meetings held after today to be held after 4 in the afternoon or on Saturdays. Ben is an employee of Tappan Stove Company. He's taking off on his own time today and losing about 5 hours of work in order to be present. And
one of their first orders of business will be to establish a meeting time.
Good.
A regular meeting time.
Good.
Right.
Yeah.
The only
Ben made that request yesterday afternoon.
The reason that we asked them to come in during this time today was so you could administer the oath to them and the press could be here and we can reenact this resolution and try to do it all at once. But, yeah, I think that they would want to set their own time most convenient to the board members. Absolutely. Who is the fifth member? I forgot who the fifth member is. The new member that's replacing Mr. Katz. Sandy, have you got the list? Wilson Franklin, yes. Shoot me for that. For forgetting him.
And I spoke to Wilson by phone, and he did say he would be able and willing to serve.
Man, do you have that resolution when I asked the last time so I could assign everybody to the same term? Right. I've forgotten just what. As soon as Dan gets back, I'll tend to this new motion. Okay. Good. Thank you. That's exactly what I need.
Mr. Franklin will be serving an initial term of 1 year.
Right. We had Mr. Kapp for 1 year, and he'll be replacing Wilson. Will be replacing him, and then we have one, two, three, and there's two that serve four. Judge, I've prepared a new motion this morning that sets out the new board members. And the first thing we might do is, I believe Wayne made the motion last time and Gordon seconded it. But the first thing we might do, Dan, is make a motion to rescind the previous motion so we can reintroduce it. Wayne, you want to make that motion? Gordon, you second
it. We have a motion and a second on the floor to rescind the previous order creating the Harford County Housing Authority.
Appointing
the board. Harford County Housing Authority. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of said motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries.
And Judge, I prepared a new resolution which would show that Wilson Franklin would serve for an initial term of 1 year. Arcelia Tilly Brooks would serve for 2 years. Ben Haley would serve for 3 years. Sylvan Slim Reynolds would serve for 4 years. And Charles Lynn would also serve for 4 years and was initially appointed interim chairman. And Judge, I would present that to court for their action.
Gentlemen, you've heard the request of the county attorney. Do I hear a motion? Motion by Wayne Lovett that it be approved. Is there a second?
I second.
Second by Harvey Devine. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Anything else in regard to the...
No, just look. We'll need to administer the oath to them.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, we have Mrs. Henderson with us today. She asked to address the court this morning. She came in yesterday in regard to a problem out in the Aurora community. This is a situation that has come before this court, I think, a few years ago. So, Ms. Henderson, I'll let you tell the court what your problem is. And I was hoping some of the State Department people would be here today. Ron Reister intended to try to be with us. Evidently, he got tied up.
I believe I'm discussed with Mr. Levitt, and I believe he is somewhat familiar with it. I don't know whether any of the rest of you are, not Mr. Hargrove, I believe. Not. Okay. Well, I had dropped it in the mouth. I don't know whether you can tell much better than not, but anyway, it's... These roads, when they were redone, they seemed to think that they were going to be discontinued. And we understood when we signed all these right-of-ways that the old roads would stay as was. And as far as I can find on the books, I don't know if I could skip something, but I have never found any place where they are close. Until a road is closed, it's still a road. Is that right? A public road. Is that right, Mr.
That is closed when action
the
fiscal court. That
That's
is correct.
Right. And I can't find any place where they're closed. And they stopped up the road. They've landlocked our property. They built trailers in the middle of the road. And I'm just like, of course, this is Mr. Henderson's property, and I came to his behalf. But I would like for these roads to stay open. And we've heard two, and my daughter three suggest that they do stay open, and I just wanted you people to understand.
Where are these roads located?
They're in Aurora.
Do you have the names of the people that have blocked or closed the road?
Well, it seems to be Baker, and he is the road mason. Where the patron is, and he is the one, and I went out there personally and Mr. Henderson, and before he got the word to them, did these things, and we told them and showed them where the pin was, so there couldn't be any mistake, and they have stopped up the roads at the back of the building. They've also stopped up the road down by our house. And what told us about this, they ran. And you can't get by them. And it's landlocked. These pieces of land right in here.
Now, were these roads deeded to the county at one time?
Uh,
Or were they just public roads?
No, it was Highway 68.
Highway 68.
They were both Highway 68.
We're talking about old Highway 68.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, that wouldn't be a county road. That would be a state road.
The highway. Well, it was the county road, and then I suppose it was given to the state.
Right, and the county has turned it over to the state.
I suppose so.
I was just trying to determine if the county has any interest in the road itself.
I thought they would because it was one time their road.
But see, once we deeded it over to the state, well, it then became the state's road unless something else happened.
I think you get a clear understanding of what we're talking about. We need to get, as far as hoping Ron Rice to be here, I think, to get a clear understanding, Wayne and myself and you and Ron Rice should go out there and personally view this problem that she's talking about. I think I generally pretty well know what you're talking about because I was out there once before when it came up. But for your benefit as legal counsel and for Ron Rice, now, at one time, the state refused to block a section out there of the lodge because that was the old road. And the request was made, I guess, through the lodge to block that, and the state refused.
We refused to sign the right-of-way if they would block the road. So they promised not to block the road because I was there at the time and Mr. Henderson was there. We were living.
This is back when the original transaction took place.
That's right. And we refused to sign the right-of-way which they blocked the road because it was blocked up in on both sides. But since we got there, hopefully we never came back, I guess. So it's been taken over. On the other side, too.
Now, the other side is where the trailers are.
Yes. It went... It went straight, you know where the Beale Road is, all of you know that. All right. It would have gone straight through there. It continues on across the road. It's behind the Ovi Johnson property about 6 feet.
Who's been maintaining those now?
Well, they haven't.
They've not been maintained in several years.
Oh, they're like many of the roads out in that area. Creek that was abandoned. They've been abandoned since
on the highway, Creek. State Highway Department came through and built the new 68. You know, since that time, the old road's not been maintained. You know,
they did maintain it a lot.
A lot,
they did.
The last several years, I know.
No, not me.
The state did maintain it.
The state did maintain it a while. Mm-hmm. Well, I said the state, I don't know. Somebody. In other words, when the Raiders were out there, Raiders were old. But there's still gravel on this road. I mean, it's grassy now, I guess, because they've mowed it, but, underneath, it's good enough.
You can still tell where the original roadway went, kids.
Their excuse was that they didn't want motorcycles to go down through there. It's a bother to the lot. But motorcycles seem to me to have the license just the same as our cars, and we can't stop the motorcycles. I don't think. If they had a block one end of it, even though I don't think they had a right to do that either, but I would not claim we could not get in and out. But we're
going
to use that land,
and they have virtually cut you off from your land, is what you're saying.
Right.
So, I'm going to suggest, Roger, I don't know when you'll have.
I was thinking I might talk to Mrs. Henderson and your daughter for just a moment while y'all are going on to the next item of business, get a little more information. Maybe I can talk to Ron and see what.
I would sometime this week. This is fair week, so we're going to be running
if that had been deeded from the county over to the state, it will have to be deeded from the state back over to the county. Is that right?
Before we can
maintain it, right?
That's what I told him.
That's why I think we need to just register. Yeah, they're not certain. They're just, we're just all assuming they're not certain, so we'll need to get that checked out. Roger, you'll have to look at your book, tell me and Wayne when you go out there.
Probably won't be this week because it's fair week, but I'd say for our next week we can.
I'd like to.
Yeah,
as soon as I know, I'd like to get state people down there too.
If you would give me a demo, I'd be glad to go out there.
Well, we would like you to be with us.
Oh, okay.
How long are you going to be here?
About
3 weeks. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll be able to be there. The
number is
443-1565.
1615.
443-1615. Let me talk to these two ladies for just a minute.
Okay.
All right, we'll move on to the next item of business.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Is there anyone else who wanted to address the court this morning before we move on to other items of business? Bob, do you want to wait till we complete our business before you make any presentation? Bob Worley, I'm sorry.
Too
many Bobs. Sorry, Bob. Going on correspondence. I had some correspondence, and it's not in the.
Yes, here it is.
From the Revere Chemical Corporation. And while Bub and I were at the NACO convention, one of the display booths that was there caught my eye. And they have come up with a project or a product that is a pavement repair program. It's called Stayfill. And I've got a brochure on it, and I don't know whether we want to try a little of it or not. I looked at the product. Of course, it's hard to tell with it on display, and I had the man explain it to me there. And he sent us some literature on it. This comes in these big drums, and what you have to do is clear out your chug hole with just a shovel. You don't have to use a grader or anything else. And this, it's kind of like coal patch, but it's a different type. And it goes in just with a shovel, and it's tamped with a shovel. And they've got it both for concrete and asphalt. It's guaranteed for 1 full year. Stay in the chug hole or wherever you put it, pothole. Now, they will send us a free 5-gallon test sample, but you got to order 30 gallons first. You might want to. It's $2.76 a gallon. I did not talk with anybody. I asked them. Several people there from different counties and different states, if they had tried this product. They said they had several people that were using it, but I could find no one there, and nobody in the Kentucky delegation had tried this product. So I can't say whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. It is guaranteed for 1 year. But price-wise and what we can get cold patch for, I don't know if it would be worth it.
$2.76 a gallon.
Well, that's the price they give. $2.76 a gallon. That's pretty expensive.
I reckon it is. Close to $1 million to fill up the whole of my account.
What does your coal patch run you, John? Do you have any idea if you broke it down in the gallon? Well, of course, this is pre-mixed. All you do is take it right from the thing and put it in. Well, I can
buy that with a pound, run more than $16. How much is a pound? Hot mix. $14 a ton, buddy. 14 and a half a ton. break that thing down in gallons and see what you
Yeah. Well, y'all can look over what we got there. I just asked for some information on it. And they had different types of products, and they sent us, tells a little something about most of the products they give. If we could make them out of a little of it on for a display, you know, I mean, for a demonstration, we might try it and then think it might be worth a while, but otherwise, I. A little bit high.
Just the driveway. You had one hole.
Yeah. Well, but it's got some of it's even higher than that, as you can see. Concrete crack ceiling and everything. You don't have that type of road. But, somewhere down the line, we might be able to use it. I also have some correspondence from the insurance services office. Gentleman that came down from TVA who was going to give us his expertise in doing a countywide survey and countywide fire protection. Those of you who were at the meeting out at the Chamber of Commerce heard this fellow giving his new boss down the road. I don't know whether he was doing it at every meeting he attended or not, but anyway, soon after he got back to Knoxville from our meeting, he was asked to retire early. TVA have since decided that they will no longer provide this service at this point in time. So we contacted the Insurance Services Office of Kentucky, and Mr. Ron Culver will be with us on August 16th, 9:30 at the Chamber, to discuss doing a countywide survey for fire protection. So you might mark your calendars if you can be at the Chamber that day. We don't know at this point in time what recommendations will be forthcoming from these meetings, but it would be to your advantage to be there because I think all of us have some volunteer fire departments in each district. There needs to be some coordination. I had some correspondence this morning from Pete Gunn. Wayne, this will concern you only. The Dowdy Cemetery Road and the Jackson School Road, where they come together. There's a real problem with that stop sign there. Evidently, it's not visible enough, or people are running it. There's been some near accidents there, and Mr. Gunn is quite concerned. Maybe we try to get the state to help us direct a better sign or a sign that will be more visible than what is there. John, you might check into that. It's the junction of the Dowdy Cemetery Road and the Jackson School Road. And evidently, the stop sign there is just not adequate. Look into that. Okay. Is there any other correspondence that anyone has to bring before the court this morning?
I have one. Right. I'd like to, if there's any way possible, to figure out about four spaces out here for handicapped parking on the side over here, on this side. Is there any way possible for people that's handicapped and has vans and pull in?
And only way
you can come in the courthouse.
The only way we can do that is get the city council to approve it. City council has that.
In other words, the parking space ground from the sidewalk in.
Huh? Well, that's what they maintain. Of course, Bubby has all maintained that we own the place where the parking meters are. But
well, I think
the city, if you remember, well, this was back before you came on board. The sheriff had more parking spaces than he has now. The county judge had a parking space. He didn't have a meter. The mayor had a parking space and not a meter. And the city council asked the mayor and myself and the sheriff to give up, the mayor and I to give up our parking places and the sheriff to give up two of his, which we did. And I had to put in four more meters. But this will have to, this would have to be done by an action.
Could you do that then? It's kind of, you know,
we can make
build some steps and put up a rail for handicap and then make them park about a mile away.
We can make a formal request. I would suggest that the request that we ask them to create four, I guess, would be adequate on the west side, because the west side is where the ramp is. Sandy, if you'll make a note, we'll write a letter formally requesting the city. city council to take that up. They met in session last night. They'll meet again a week from next Monday night. We'll just make that to the attention of Mayor Priest and the council.
I know it's still here on this east end of the courthouse. I'm still there. It's not been repaired yet. They can get some repair on them. It's giving away. The concrete's giving away, you know, and the gravel.
Redoing like we did the front step. Sandy making over there.
One other thing too, the marker, wasn't it moved? Has it ever been replaced back?
What marker is that?
It's a tonal marker or something.
TVA marker?
TVA marker.
Yes, it was.
It's been put back.
They had to put it back. Okay. You required it. When they pulled it out, they marked where they pulled it.
Has it been rolled back and put?
Well, the marker, you're talking about where they dug the hole.
Yeah.
They removed the marker to dig the hole. It has been replaced. The one buried. Now, you're talking about the buried marker.
Yeah.
We'll have to get the red and find out exactly if it was put in the exact same place. I'm sure it had to be.
I didn't ask that to be happened. I mean,
was there any reason for it?
Dig it up or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to dig a basement.
That's right.
It was in the yard on that side.
Right. That's the guy when it's been replaced.
When Roger gets back in, I'm sure it has. We'll check it to make sure. Okay. Any other correspondence?
Well, we're talking about the thing. I'd wonder if it'd be any way possible if we can get a sign on these dumpsters, stadium. What we go in the dumpsters, fine, otherwise, or what actions should be taken in short wording if they're abused. I am running into that it says nothing. I've caught about 6 people in the past 2 weeks dumping into the boxes, and they say, why don't you put a sign on it? And there is no sign on the dump box. Saying what?
Joe,
where's
Joe? Has that ever been, that has been brought up to the Refuge Board. Did they take any action on
it?
Sandy, could you get another stencil made?
Just garbage
in?
Yeah, I don't see lawn chairs and stuff
like that.
No,
that's
what
I'm saying.
Just garbage on.
That
could be.
Just
one step.
Just put garbage on.
Haven't
painted on.
Is there some way you put $250 fine out in the bottom if you're throwing it out? The lawn chairs, the concrete.
Tree lawn.
How would you want to word it?
Made it legal to let the attorney think of the wording on it.
I had 4 years of that.
Okay, word it then.
No, I think that would help out a lot. I really do.
The box is marked.
Still, I figure put on there a sign that could be made.
Well, that's true. Like they'll do. Some of them, you know, did have signs on them, and they'd be just as bad for down my area as the ones that didn't have them. So really
well, what about abuse of the boxes are subject to a $250 fine?
get the stencil free, of course, we'll have to go to them and get the paint to do it, but
But I'm sure they'll pass it. I've gone through these policies, or have tried to go through, and had someone help me go through and try to explain them to me. I think we've got two bids that meet what we wanted and what we asked for, pretty adequate, and they're both pretty close. What we advertised for, and what we feel like is benefit to the employees. Only recommendation I'm going to make to both close is price.
The benefits are closed now. Just tell the court what the price is.
Blue Cross rate. $74.30 for a family plan, Golden Rule, $75.33.
For the same benefit?
You can get both.
Very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
We did. I did obtain from outside counsel, someone who's very knowledgeable in business to review with Dan these policies. He made no recommendation other than to tell us what benefits were available in all three bids, and in his opinion, what was best. I think his statement was that we had two policies that were very close. Package provided. One is a little cheaper than the other. Blue Cross Blue Shield is about a dollar, something below Golden Rule.
Well, it's the same benefit, I don't care.
Hey, we got it.
Yes, we have Blue Cross Blue Shield for the time.
How much dollar is it? Dollar. Of course, the third bid, there's no set bid, they're rated according to age, number of dependents, prime varies, and of course, we have one of them.
Very comfortable.
We've got both insurance companies represented here this morning. They want to.
Gentlemen, we have each company represented. We would give you about 2 minutes each if you want to make any statements to the court this morning.
I was just answering questions. Thank you, Your Honor. I don't have anything to add. I might add one thing that we have been in association with my government service.
Gentlemen, you've heard the recommendation. County Finance Office. Would you like to discuss this among yourselves before you?
I don't.
before you vote, or are you ready for?
No, I don't think I'm ready for questions.
All right. Do we have a motion?
I make the motion.
Joe Blue Cross. We have a motion on the floor that we continue. Blue Cross Blue Shield providing coverage for the Marshall County employees. Is there a second?
I second.
Second by Harvey Devine. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion carries. Gentlemen, we appreciate very much all the companies that took time out to bid. We will probably be reviewing our insurance yearly and always on the lookout for a little better coverage. We appreciate the relationship that we've had with Blue Cross Blue Shield. We want to continue a good relationship. We are very interested in, of course, when we have a claim, getting quick claim service. And we thank both of you very much. All right, is there any other old business that needs to come before the court? Hearing none, moving to new business. Moving on to new business. Gentlemen, it's been brought up, and I'm hoping, let me see if I can find a county attorney. I am going to need a county. We'll have a hospital board meeting before the next fiscal court meeting, Tuesday night next week. Gentlemen, the reason I asked Rogers to come in and talk with us, the Marshall County REAC team, as you know, has been helping us in the green box situation. Couple of the REAC members have discussed with me, and I discussed with them the possibility of creating a county auxiliary police unit and appointing two of their members and being selected as to who we select as county auxiliary police for the particular purpose of helping out with the system. This weekend, there was two boxes burned a couple of weeks ago, two weekends in a row. They had one of their members take it out over the weekend, and it didn't happen. Nobody burned this weekend. Roger and I have discussed how we could go about this, but I wanted to get a reaction from the court on what your feelings are on creating a county auxiliary police force for this purpose.
As I was telling the judge, there are a couple of things that we would want to do if we appoint county auxiliary police. We want to be very selective in the individuals that we appoint, if we are, anytime we give arrest power and police authority to anyone. We want to be very careful. We would want to require that those individuals post a bond, protection of the court and the county, because liable for their actions. We want to be sure that they appointed a bond. And I would say we would want to keep the number to a minimum, possibly no more than two. This is the, when you create a new body with police powers, that's a pretty serious step. And I think that the situation, the littering at the green boxes, warrants our taking extraordinary measures. I think we want to do something in order to cut this down, but we want to be very select and set fairly close guidelines when we're appointing this the county auxiliary police for this purpose. It wouldn't require a bond and maybe no more than two people, and it would be very selective of the two people we appoint.
I did not have an opportunity this morning to talk. No, it's strictly voluntary. It is auxiliary. It's strictly voluntary.
Paid $1 a year or something, but that would be standard.
I think under the statute, we do have the authority.
Yes.
To create.
Right. We can create a county police force and regulate their activities.
Well, I'd like to what means by the two gentlemen, what, how do you expect to improve the drawing of the box?
What they were interested in, mainly, is having arrest power if someone starts to burn a box or blatantly abuse a box, that they would have the arrest power to arrest that person and bring them in. I would suppose they would have that power as a citizen arrest, as any other citizen would. I don't know.
A citizen can make an arrest only in the case of a felony. Now, if there were damage to property in excess of $500, that would be a felony. But most of the damage that's done to these is less than $500. So it's only a misdemeanor. And a citizen cannot arrest on a misdemeanor, even if it takes place in the presence. Now, a peace officer can arrest on a but only if it takes place in his presence. Otherwise, a peace officer, like any citizen, must come in and sign a criminal complaint and the court issue a summons or a warrant. Usually, on matters like this, if the peace officer observes it, they don't arrest the individual. They issue a citation for them to appear in court at a specific time. Arresting is physically taking the person in custody and putting them in jail, and it should only be ongoing danger to people or property. Otherwise, you cite the individual to appear in court at another time. And the same way, if someone observes someone setting fire to a dumpster or littering or whatever, a criminal summons can be issued to have the individual appear in court and have precisely the same effect as a citation given by a peace officer. The only advantage that would be gained by it is if one of the persons who is empowered to act as a peace officer sees an individual setting fire to a dumpster or littering. They can make an immediate arrest at that time or issue a citation at that time. Otherwise, it would have to be a criminal summons issue. Now, even if one of the REACT volunteers is at a point, sees someone litter, and then he calls one of the empowered members, then that peace officer could not then go arrest or issue a citation because it wouldn't have happened in his presence. Right. So the benefits at that point are limited. I can think of one real benefit, and this is one you may want to consider. The situation is where a REACT member who's not empowered is at a dumpster, and he sees an individual setting fire to the dumpster or littering, throwing out great piles of garbage and this type of thing. And he attempts to encounter the individual to find out something about his name or get his license number, his address, or ask him what he's doing or something like that. The individual becomes hostile, tries to leave, starts to fight, whatever it is, this type of thing. In a situation like that, where you see somebody doing that, the REACT member can notify one of the empowered members. They could arrive there in a few moments and perhaps take charge of the situation then and investigate and determine more about the individual that was seen. It's not so much being able to do something immediately. immediately, but in a situation like that where you're trying to find out some more about the person that might be of assistance to have somebody with police knowledge. That's the situation I can really see being most important, because the odds of one of these two people being actually present when somebody does it are low, although they are, I know, conducting surveillance on these others, and I would not under any circumstances recommend to the court or the judge that you simply swear in every member of the REACT. That don't
React team is asking for these two
materials. Right. I understand.
Yes.
What is your recommendation, Judge?
Well, on a very limited basis, Roger and I have talked and that I've discussed with two of the members of the React team, I would not object to it. In fact, I would be in favor of it on a very limited basis. Of course, these powers can be revoked at any time. We might want to postpone any action on this until the next meeting to give Roger and I a chance to meet with members of REACT to explain further what we envision that this group could do, and to discuss with the sheriff so there will be no misunderstanding that these people are not there to interfere with the sheriff's department, not to hinder in any way, but to compliment. The sheriff, as you know, is very limited in manpower. The gasoline prices have gotten so that it's hard for the sheriff's people to be patrolling as much as they once did. And we simply got to have some help on this screen box situation. Halloween is coming up. That's the tough time for us with our boxes.
But
I'd like a motion to table.
I'll try to have a maybe draft resolution.
Well, motion by Gordon Hargrove that we table any motion to the County Auxiliary Police until the next meeting. Is there a second of that motion?
Second.
Second by Harvey Devine. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed nay. Motion carries. Rod, you want to get through your report before you go back in there?
The biggest thing to discuss that I have is the fact that the county hospital or the county housing authority will be meeting today. The first meeting, I'll be working with them as they're reviewing the financing proposal that the retirement village is going to bring forward, and we'll need to swear them in at 11 o'clock and have the old here with me. And the other thing is that the Chamber of Commerce Search Committee that has been searching for names of prospective hospital board members have tendered a list to the judge of six names. Now, of those six names, they were able to contact five of them and to get their acceptance. Sixth name, they have not been able to contact. He's been on vacation. The judge and I had discussed it and felt that we would want to present that man's name to the fiscal court for their action. So we're going to hold that name until next time. But of the six, the other names, the five names that are presented, I think all of you may know Dick Meyer, who's been very active in the Chamber of Commerce. He's been active in the Kentucky vacation land, tourist organization for the county. He's the owner and operator of Big Bear Resort. He's a well-known businessman in the county. And I think that he would be very effective in working with the hospital board. I know Dick personally. I think he's got the type of personality that he would be able to work with the present board members and would not mind coming in the middle of some controversy and trying to take charge. And Judge, that's the name that you and I had discussed and the fiscal court might consider at this time.
Gentlemen, I would present to you this morning formally the name of Dick Meyer for your consideration as a
member of the Marshall County Hospital Board. Dick, as Roger has stated, has been active. He has been the past president of the Marshall County Chamber of Commerce. He's been very active in the civic affairs of the county, circulating vacation lands, promoting tourism in the area, promoting Marshall County in general. I believe Dick would be able to serve on this board with an open mind and with one thought in mind, and that is to promote the Marshall County Hospital District and the further expansion of the Marshall County Hospital. At this time, for your action, I would propose the name of Dick Mine for the hospital board. Yes, I will.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion. Second, Dick Meyer, be a member of the Marshall County Hospital Board. Is there any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Then you'll notify Mr. Meyer that he needs to come in and be sworn in. And if there's a hospital board meeting, he's due tonight.
Well, we're on the hospital. They were the rumor been going around for a week or so. But I ain't say something to that. Hope with the hospital board that they do away with long-term care at the hospital.
No, I can fill you in on that.
We need to let the public know that.
Right. At the time that you remember doctors had several comments made to the newspaper and to the television and to several civic organizations. And the doctors presented a suggestion to the board that the long-term care facility be done away with, and the board rejected that. The board was of the opinion that the people of the county should continue to operate the long-term care facility. And the board has made it clear that it is their intent to continue to operate the long-term care facility.
The reason, I think, for the doctor's suggestion was to try to make available more bed space, hospital bed space. Of course, in order to do that, you have to go through a certificate of need. You've got to go through your sub-area health council, the HSA West Board, and a lot of channels that you have to go through to acquire more bed space. I'm sure a lot of you saw in the local press months ago the controversy of Lourdes Hospital, Western Baptist, Callaway County, trying to obtain more bed space for their hospital. So it is quite a difficult process. But I did hear one of the board members comment that Guy Mathis, who is a board member, Guy was of the strong opinion that the people of the county and the city created the long-term care unit for a purpose, and that the long-term care unit was supplying a need for this county, and that it was his opinion, and evidently by the board's vote, their opinion, that we do not do away with the long-term care unit.
I might point out that one of the concerns that was voiced was that the new nursing home would empty the long-term care facility. And a survey was done of all of the families at the long-term care facility, and it's not going to make any difference.
In fact, it's still got a waiting list.
Right.
Gentlemen, there was a hearing held here last Wednesday.
Last week.
The National Labor, NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, sent a hearing officer down. There has been talk of unionization of the county hospital employees. I was asked to testify on behalf of the county. I did not testify as to whether or not we had any objection to the hospital employees forming a union. I was not asked to testify, nor did I testify to that effect. What I did testify to, that it is our opinion that the Marshall County Hospital District is a district and an arm of county government, such as the Refuge Board, the Public Health Board, any other board or function, library board that we appoint. The appointments of the hospital board come through the Marshall County Fiscal Court. The tax rate is set by the Marshall County Fiscal Court.
court. The taxes collected by the Marshall County Sheriff turned over to the Marshall County Treasurer for disbursement. Any back taxes are the direct responsibility of the county attorney to collect. We feel, and I believe it, the law will back us up, that they do not come under the purview of the NLRB. And that was our testimony, plain and simple. Not that we have any axe to grind with the hospital employees, nor the union that they're talking with. We will wait now for the NLRB ruling, and we'll go accordingly for their ruling.
Yeah, I might point out that was the only question at the hearing, not whether or not a union was desired or desirable or advisable or necessary. The only question that the NLRB hearing officer took testimony on was whether or not he had jurisdiction, whether or not the hospital was an arm of county government. That was the only question. Trying to decide whether or not the hospital is an arm of county government. There had been some misunderstanding because, you know, there is a corporation that would hold title to real estate if there were any bonding done, but it's not operating.
Okay. Is there any other business that needs to come before the court? My recommendation, since it is a wood-burning stove that Herman cooks on, he has to pack his wood up the steps. It's not that old, Herman. Herman does need, and he does have a need for a new stove and refrigerator, and I would recommend, of course, that we authorize Herman to purchase a new stove and refrigerator, and it looks as if he will have necessary excess fees to pay for.
Make a motion. Let him buy.
We have a motion and a second that we allow county jailer to purchase a new stove and refrigerator for the county jailer's department. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Well, then while we're doing this, why don't we just hold one? What are you going to do with this old one? No, what I'm saying is maybe somebody that's had a burnout or something, we give it to somebody that needs it.
What's going to say? What's going to give it to somebody that maybe had a burnout?
Could we do that legally? Without,
if the court so desires, if that's what's to be done with it, we need to declare it surplus property. And we could store it, and if someone has a burnout or someone is in dire need, give it to them.
When you say,
well,
you have to do the refrigerator, but one that's
you ought to table that thing until he gets his meeting and decide what he wants to do. Come back and forth if he has his idea of what he would desire to do with the old. Well, I'm buying one large enough.
Yeah, get one big enough and you need
one.
Gentlemen, is there any other business that needs to come forward for? Dan, did you put that bill in there for that dinner meeting the other night?
Thanks. Okay.
All right, gentlemen, some of you might, I didn't get a chance to tell you what. Last Thursday night, Bill Short, who is Governor Carroll's chairman of the Development Cabinet, Tom Fields, who's with Cabinet, Rodney Dempsey with KITFA, four other members of the Commerce Department, and one other member of the Development Cabinet, Mr. Reed, white-haired guy, I bet you what's his name, John Reed, met with me and Dr. Dick Colbert about the development of the industrial park in Calvert City. The members of the Paducah board also were with us. They paid for their own meal, and Doc Colburn and Gene Ray paid for their own meal. We did. I paid for the guests from Frankfort for their meal, and the bill is submitted there. I didn't have a chance to tell you what it was. That's when we include the bills, that is in there. They did fly down, and I thought it would be only right for the county to buy their supper, since we're trying to ask them for a whole lot of money, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1 million. Any other business needs to come before the court? Gentlemen, if you've got time to review the bills, we'll entertain a motion to pay the bills. We have a motion and a second that we pay the bills. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, I know the magistrates and commissioners met in session in Louisville a week or so ago.